Hey, what's going on? It's Mario, FA Podcast. Man, we're in the 90s. I think we're on 90 or 91, so we're up there as far as podcasts. What you're going to learn today is a choke tube is not a choke tube. They're not all the same. That's what you are going to learn today. And I could speak from experience. So Jason Copestick from Pattermaster is a new owner. We're going to get into that. So we're going to hit it hard. Like if you're thinking your shooting might be a little off or you need some assistance, you need a little more thump, I can tell you where to get it. So Jason, I've been shooting Pattermaster for, I don't want to date myself, but a long time. And I know the value in it. And we worked with Julie and everybody there going way back, right? So I mean the history of the company is I mean I remember the first time I shot it, it was insane. So history wise, the company was founded, I don't know if you like when was it founded? Like it's a long time.
Yeah, this is 32 years, so 1993.
Well, actually, same year as Final Approach. So I'll take that. That's
Yeah.
actually a plus, right there. Look at that. 93 was popping. Yeah, Julie had it. Everybody that was involved, there was actually like three or four families involved. Like Mike C was involved. I don't know if they paid Mike, whatever happened, like this a long time ago. Mike was just like a consultant. He's out. Then Larry, was in, and those guys, and then Julie was in, and then it just keeps going and going and going. And I don't think everybody understood. I don't think, because this isn't a product that you just like go, you know, it is science for sure. There's a lot of technology. So it's not something you can just either explain in 2 seconds for somebody to buy or like, oh yeah, just go grab one. You know, there's a lot behind it. And we can get into that because I got a couple tubes and we'll pull them out and we'll talk. But you recently just bought it off of everybody like a few months ago.
Yeah, it was effective July 1st. So it's been a few years where Larry and Julie owned it
Right.
outright. They
Right.
had bought out the, there was three gentlemen. So you mentioned Mike.
Yep.
Jerry Poe
Yep, Jerry.
was the third. He was based up in Wisconsin. And Larry and Julie were kind of the third. Third of the group that were in there. Mike left first and they bought his third of the company out. And then Jerry, he retired and then he recently passed away, but they had bought him out, I want to say about 8 years ago. So for the last 8 or 9 years, Julie and Larry have owned it outright. I had been working for them. In a sales capacity, managing national accounts and a bunch of the flyways,
That's
and
awesome.
they came to me and said, "Hey, you know, we're looking to enjoy some more free time while we still are at
What an
an age where we
opportunity.
can." Yeah, and so it worked out great. They knew that I would keep the basic core principles that they had built the brand on. And wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be a profit play on my part. It was going to be, we're going to continue to manufacture with US Steel in the US. We're going to continue to focus on technology and innovation. And we're going to focus on the hunting market. So I think we were
Keep the
all aligned in
integrity
that.
and keep the integrity, right? Because
Right.
you see all these companies get bought, right? You see all these companies get bought and they just trash them. You know what I mean? Like, I've been a part of a few brands that got sold off that they just started going downhill because they just start going, hey, we can make just as much money if we cut this corner and cut that corner, and they start cutting corners. And then it's like, let's cut corners, let's cut people, let's cut whatever. And we could, you know what I mean? We could do it. And then it just starts getting watered down. Like Final Approach was in the same, like it was in the same boat when we bought it. It was, well, I shouldn't say in the same boat. We bought it and it was a shell of itself because of what happened, right? So you're lucky enough that, I mean, you got a really good brand and great products, and all you got to do is freaking ramp up. You know,
Right.
that's holy
And one of
shit.
the things I was proud of as we worked through all the transition, we left the manufacturing in Pennsylvania.
For sure.
And there was, I mean, far too much knowledge in that shop
Oh,
to walk away from.
absolutely.
And we moved the warehouse operations out to Arkansas.
Yep.
And so, in doing that, what I was really excited and proud about that was we were able to keep everyone that existed. In the business before, they're still all employed.
That's great.
Some of them we were letting work remotely, some of them kind of changed job assignments. And we've added another 4 or 5 people here. And so, we've kind of kept everybody that was invested in it, employed, which, I really was excited about.
For sure, like every like I've been there. I've been there to the shop in Pennsylvania, and it is an awesome operation. And like you said, you would be doing a disservice if you didn't keep all those people and keep it moving, because they have it dialed in for sure.
Oh
You
yeah.
know, that's awesome. Well,
Yeah. Could you
let's
make it
talk.
somewhere else? Sure.
Yeah,
Would you
right.
have a lot of issues? Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah, because then you'd have to like train people, ramp up people. You know, if everybody couldn't move or whatever, like you'd be losing the core, like we just talked about, right? You'd be losing a piece of what makes Pattermaster roll, right? So, let's talk technology, because that's really what drives this product, right? It's not a choke tube. That's one of the things, like when we started, like when I was at AVNX and we were repping Pattermaster for Julie, because Fred had shot it forever as well. So we were both really deep into it. And we said, I think we could sell it, we could help you, we could grow it. And I think we really, really did. Like we really drilled it up in Canada. We got things going in Europe. There was a lot of tubes sold and new ones made. You know what I mean? Because the whole Code Black line was just coming out, and then we helped add some tubes. You know what I mean? Like I remember sitting in Pennsylvania I'm gonna pull it out, like discussing this tube, right? And what that was gonna be, because I think at first it was just like an upland tube, or it was something. And then we started talking, and it's like, well, what does that tube do? And then we ended up shooting it, and I was like, oh my God, that tube is like, that's a close range, like decoy tube, like, because it really was just a close range, right? And we were like, well, we can do that. And then we started talking about Europe, and I was like, well, the guys over there shoot pigeons and crows really, really close. I go, you could market that as a pigeon tube or whatever. And they were like, okay, let's do that. And then we really hit on going and making it a timber tube for the guys in Arkansas that was specific. So everything started being specific, and then people started going, because the main thing when we were selling it, people would come in and you already know, like the best thing that was ever done was the tube finder sheet that said, here's your gun, here's what this does, which tube do you want? So you could look at the chart and go, this is what I need. That was huge, because people would come in and go, I don't know what tube I need, right? So then it was like, okay, what ammo are you shooting? What birds are you shooting? How close are you shooting them? Or how far do you want to shoot them? Like everything in the boxes has to get checked off to get them the right tool, because this is for sure a tool. You know what I mean? So that was the tube finder was huge. And then pushing people to not say choke tube. Right? That was
That's
Julie. Oh, listen, Julie was like, she did accomplish it, but she would pull her hair out if somebody said choke tube. You know what I mean? Like, that was huge. So we had to train ourselves, and then we had to try to train everybody out there buying. Like, this isn't a choke tube because it doesn't choke, right? It doesn't restrict the ammo or the pellets coming out. It doesn't restrict your shot. It has the stud rings in it, and we could talk about all that, but that was a huge part of it, was just having people understand it's a tool, it's not a choke, and here's what it does, and then explaining it. So, like, what a that took a while for sure, but I think it helped grow everything as we got going, right? And then now here you are today, and I'm sure you still have to explain everything to a new bunch of hunters. I'm sure of it. You know.
It was, you had to get over the if you think about people my age and older, right? You had grown up with a very traditional naming methodology. They would say, okay, I want a modified, I want a full, I want improved
Yep, all
cylinder,
that.
I want to improve modified, I want an extra
Yes.
full.
Yes.
And so you have to talk both, they'll say, okay, how does the constriction compare? Well, there's no constriction. Okay.
Right. So now you throw
So
them off right there. They're lost
yeah.
because everything, like you said, that they've learned is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you still get that. I mean, we'll get calls and chats on the website saying, okay, well, what's the constriction? Well,
Right.
you have to explain to them, okay, here's how we accomplish what you're thinking about, which is
Yes.
the tightness of a pattern at a given place in time. So most guys think about it as, I'll put it on paper at 40 yards and
That's
see
right.
what that looks like. So
Yeah.
we can say, hey, it performs like a, modified. And so if that's what you're looking for, this is the tube for you. We do it differently than any of the competitors out there, but
For sure.
you do have to talk both sides of the conversation, because you have to be able to understand what are they looking for. And you said it really well. And I encourage folks that see this or hear this, if you have questions, call in, right? And the folks that work here, they've all been around. And so they're going to walk you through, okay, what are you hunting? What range? What's the environment? What kind of gun do you have? We can give them some guidance on, hey, different types of loads perform differently.
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
we can help you do the best that you can out in the field, with a few questions. I mean, we're not asking you too much, but just some specifics where we have enough data built up to say, hey, this is the right fit for you.
For sure.
So I encourage folks, hey, if you're like, I don't know, should I buy Code Black Duck or Code Black Goose? Okay, well, give us a call. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And once we better understand what you're looking to do, we'll put you in the right tube.
Yeah, because really, so while we're talking about that, like that helps separate as well, right? Like Code Black Duck, Code Black Goose, and then guys would be like, well, how is this going to perform out of this? Like, really, when we broke it down, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basically the Code Black Goose was basically made for guys that were shooting 3.5 inch shells. And that's how Julie kind of gave it to us. Like, that's for the guy who is going to shoot 3.5 inch shells. He wants a tight pattern. He wants to reach out there. And that's really like that would probably be your long range, right? So, and is your, then the duck is going to be your mid range, let's call it, right? So, and obviously the Code Black is ported. So that's different from the classic. And then we could also talk, we'll talk Anaconda in a minute too, because that's new technology. So there's a lot going on. So to make sense of everything, let's start with probably the first thing, like you said, like guys want to put it on paper. And we used to get the questions of, hey, well, I tried the Pattern Master and this is what load I'm shooting. And on paper, it looks better than, say, this choke tube that I have. It looks better than it, but it's not, I don't think that's enough, right? Like what else am I getting? So then we go into shot string, right? Because that's where the difference is laid. You know what I mean? So,
Right.
and I'm gonna show a graphic if anybody's watching, but this is the difference. Regular, and I'll explain it for people listening, regular shot string is anywhere from like, I remember it was like 5 to, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, anywhere from like 5 to 17 feet of stretch of, and that means your first pellet to your last pellet going down range, right? So that's
Right.
right down here. Like they're all spread out. And of course, on paper, they all got there, right? So you can't see them all get there at different times, but they're all there. So when people are going, oh, well, it looks the same on paper, or it looks similar, or it's better, but how much better? And I'm like, here's the difference. So, and then you shoot a Pattern Master and it's anywhere from 3 to 5 feet shot string front to back. So when we're talking about that stuff, that is huge. And I always say, if I watch a video or I watch guys hunting, I can tell who's shooting one immediately. If you tell me there's 1 in 5 guys that shoot and I see a bunch of birds come in and everybody shoots, I can tell you which guy's shooting one immediately because it's not a cripple. It literally gets turned upside down and you're like, that's the guy right there. Because I've seen it, because all your pellets are going downrange on the target in that 3 to 5 feet, and you thump them versus, the bird flies through that long 17 feet and hits a piece of it and kind of goes down or sails, or, maybe they do get a couple BBs and right in the head and it goes down. Like you can tell right away that difference. And I think what we were telling people was that we're really stuck on, well, it looks the same on the board, right? Because they can't tell it's not getting there at the same time, right? So they're like, oh, well, it's all right here. So I would tell guys, hey, next time you're out, shoot a cripple on the water, or go take like a jug out on a piece of water and shoot it and watch your pattern then. Watch your shot string then, because I've seen it way too many times. Somebody's not shooting one and there's a cripple on the water, and you see 25 feet of pellets just like graze over him, and he just shakes it off and keeps going. And then you see somebody that has a Pattern Master and puts it right on him, and literally it looks like a depth charge and it just blows up. That's the difference of what you guys have and what makes it so special.
Yeah, and I think the one of them, when I was out selling on the selling side, and not that I still don't do that, but one of the most impactful things I could show people was the video you guys did back with Fred back in the day, where there was a cripple out on the water and he had somebody shoot with a traditional constriction tube, and you could see, I mean, you could see how tight it was, you could see the length of it, and then have a guy come up. I think he had on a long range, but come up and you cut that down. We usually will say it's a 80% reduction in shot string, which is pretty, if you have a full choke on there, a traditional full constriction choke, you're at that 17 to 20 feet. And we can cut that down 80% if you're at, a more, modified level. Improved cylinder level, we're still going to get the reduction. It's just going to be from a lesser number to a lesser number.
Sure. But it's still very considerable. Like you're talking about that much shorter. And the thing we used to stress is like, listen, you can't just stick this in your gun and all of a sudden you're going to go out and be the best shot like soon as you put it in, because you have to get used to it, because you were used to your lead and everything, and then a lot of pellets going down and that bird somewhat flying through there. I would tell guys, like, you are probably going to miss a bunch with your lead and everything soon as you start, and then soon as you swing on one and just thump them, you're gonna know your lead, and you're gonna go and you're gonna see the light. Like, it is going to be very bright when you see it happen, because you got to
Yeah.
get used to it, because you're
Yeah.
used to that 20 feet, right, or 17 feet or whatever, of just pellets going everywhere. And then now you start shrinking it down, and your percentage, like you said, of shot string comes down, but also your percentage of like just throwing, crap at the wall, like that goes down. So now you got to be on target.
Yep.
That
Yeah,
is
which
the,
I went through that same adjustment probably
yeah.
15 or 20 years ago, and the first time, and went
Yeah.
into, at that time we went in, I was down on a hunt in Arkansas and needed a tube, and went in and got one, and hey, try this pattern master. And at that point, I was just ignorant, and yeah,
Right.
okay, great, let's go. And then first couple of shots I'm like, I'm rusty.
Yeah, I gotta get in the swing here, right?
Yeah, and then yeah, I mean, you pick it up and you kind of adjust yourself, and then you're like,
Yeah.
okay, now I get why I'm doing this.
Yeah, so I mean, putting it on a pattern board is one thing, but literally shooting it then and getting used to it, that's a whole other thing. And I would encourage guys to, I would encourage them to not get discouraged at the front, because it is going to make a huge difference down the road. Like you have no clue how much of a difference it makes down the road on your shooting, less cripples. Everybody is going to be happy, especially the dog, that he's not chasing cripples anymore and he's just picking up birds and you're maximizing his or her time, right? So then, okay, so let's go into, like, I don't want to say the tube finder, but I'll just like, okay, so my favorite is the decoy, and it's also the timber and the pigeon and the upland, because it is meant, for close in work, close in combat. I feel like I'm stretching. Like if I'm just shooting Federal Blue Box right through that, I feel like I'm stretching, that 40 to 45 yards. I can still make that shot, but I think that's me. And maybe the tube can stretch a little bit more, but I feel like that's my limit with that tube. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And it doesn't matter what I shoot out of that. If I'm shooting 3-inch 2s or 3s, or anything like that, I think I'm still where I need to be on that. And then once I have to, let's say, step up, like I got to shoot a little further, or I want a little more thump, and we're shooting geese, like I go back to, the classic. I go back to that, the long range, right? And then I know I can stretch a little further. I'm a little tighter. Like I have more pellets coming down range, and I'm just thumping, out there. Now I might whiff close. Like if there's something super close,
Yeah.
like 15 yards, or I mean, if we get something deadly close, I might whiff right by it, because I don't want to say I'm shooting a rifle, but I'm tight. You know what I mean? So, but if I hit them that close, yeah, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. No, you're either left with some feathers for the dog to pick up, or you miss completely. Which I've done. I've had
I've
the
done
Doug
the
Black.
same.
I've had the Code Black Duck on, and a couple of fun story. I mean, lots of misses where it's 15 yards and that bird's, came in on the side of the decoys you weren't expecting.
That's right. That's right.
And you take a shot and you're like, whoa. But I've also, I had a guy down here with me, and I just wanted to get, we were too shy of a limit in a long timber hole, and wanted to get the bird. There was two birds that came in for whatever reason, went against the wind, landed in the far side of the hole, but they were 90 plus yards away. And I said, hey, I'm just going to shoot over there. They have to fly towards us to get out. And this guy hadn't been to Arkansas before, so I said, we're too shy of a limit. Once I shoot, they'll fly towards us. We'll shoot those two, and we'll be done. And I still go kill that drake at
Oh my
90.
God, at 90.
But I mean, and that was not, I was not, I just wanted to get close enough that they were going to get up, and the dog was ready to go, and I said, no, that's going to be a boat bird.
Wow. And that, listen, that's happened with that. That's happened with, like, I've seen guys on, and I'm obviously not like condoning shooting 90, right? I've seen snows get pulled out of a group, you know what I mean, that were up 90 to 100 with one. Like, I've seen exactly what you're talking about. Like, I'm not condoning shooting that high, or like somebody says a turkey gets hung up. Like, I have definitely seen it, you know what I mean? So the technology is there. I'm not telling guys to shoot at 90 or even 80 or 70. Like,
No.
let's get them tight and kill them, right? So, but the technology is there, and it's crazy how tight you can keep that for how far out there, and the thump that it just has when it gets
Yeah,
there.
and that's you have to talk paper guys through a couple different things.
Sure.
One is you're shooting at a moving object, but you're patterning on a stationary object,
That's right.
right? So you don't see that third dimension of the shot string, right? Because like you said, it all eventually gets there, and
Yeah,
you
when you
have
see
no
it on
idea.
paper, it's all there. Like, you can count every pellet, but guess what? Like, when you're shooting just a regular choke tube that's constriction and totally different, like, you don't know that this pellet got there, before this pellet and this pellet. Like, it, for sure, that is a huge thing. Yeah.
And if you think about it, I mean, think about how fast a teal would be moving through, if you were doing a shot and they were flying across your board, how long are
Yeah.
they there?
Yeah.
And how
Yeah.
much space do they take up? So,
Yeah. For sure.
it's you have to say, okay, now if I could take your target and swing it, right, then you would get a little bit of a picture of the dimension.
Yes.
The other thing is, by not constricting, and people get the water and funnel discussion, but if you have a full choke on there, it's just like a funnel for water. I mean, it slows everything down. So, that energy is, I mean, you're basically talking physics, you're talking energy, right? That energy is taken away from the shot by slowing it down. And so what happens is that shot falls apart sooner out in the field. So, I've talked to some, religious paper guys who say, hey, I've got to see it in this piece of paper at 40 yards. And I say, okay, but do me the favor, take Pattern Master versus whatever competitor you're going to do, and do it at 40, and you may not see a significant difference. It may look similar, it may look a little better, but do it at 60. And tell me you don't see a significant difference.
Well, and then I go right to the shoot something on the water. You know what I mean? Because that's where I go. That's the biggest difference to me. Because when you start stretching pellets out, and the technology is the stud rings that are inside the tube. When the wad hits it, it holds up the tube for a fraction of a second, so all the pellets could come out instead of being spit out by the wad. Because once you spit it out, like, stuff's going every which way, right? And like you said, then the first one's getting faster and the slow, like everything starts jockeying for position in the pellets. And then all of a sudden it starts going like this. Like they're doing this and then they start stretching, right? But when they come out all together and the tube doesn't, or the wad doesn't spin them out and do whatever, like they just start coming out in that ball and they just start traveling down range. And that's where I go to the water and I go, yeah, you want to try something? Okay, great. On paper, you're telling me this. Now go shoot it on the water and put two jugs out there or something and shoot one, or actually just take one jug because you're not going to sink it on your traditional 20 foot long shot string. Just take one, shoot it, and then thump it. You know what I mean? Like you will see the difference right there. And I think when that happens, they can see that in real time. And that just, I think that's what does it. That's what blows their mind because that is the difference that you can see because you're saying, hey, the shot string's going down, it's shorter, it's getting there, but on paper, like we said, well, look at it, it's there, right? Well, you don't know what got there and when it got there, because you can't. You know what I mean? I think that's a huge difference. And honestly, like for the guys who hunt divers and especially you shoot a diver and it hits the water. I mean, we have the coast here. We go down to San Francisco Bay, down in California. Like we've done it all. Like soon as you hit one, if somebody doesn't kill one, that immediate next shot as soon as he pops his head out. And if you have a long shot string going over like golden eyes or bluebills or something that is as tough as can be, it's not working. That is not working. You need to put it all on them. And that's a huge difference because usually on those, if you're in the boat or you have a dog and you're in big water, like you could be chasing cripples for way too long. And that's not what you're trying to do. So I think that's a big thing. So we could talk anaconda in a minute too, but there's different levels or different kinds like you had. Like at first was classic, right? That was the start of it, right? And there was classic was ported as well. There was ported and non-ported, right? So you went close range, mid-range, long range, right? That's in classic, right? That's
And
what's available
extended.
there. And extended. And extended is extra full, or or
Yeah,
would you say
well,
that's for three
extended
and a half?
was when you talked about Code Black Goose, that was the design for 3.5 inch shells.
So that was so that so everybody understands, like you're not gonna get like if you're shooting 3 inch shells, right? You're not gonna get much more out of an extended that you would out of a long range, right? That's the thing, because guys would be like, I want the tightest, you know what I mean? And then we go back to, okay, I know you want the tightest or whatever you're looking for, but what are you actually doing? What gun are you shooting? What ammo are you shooting? Are you shooting big honkers, late season, like out to 45? You know what I mean? Like you gotta go through the steps of what you need. Like you don't show up. You don't show up to, fix something, with a hammer when you need a shovel or something. You know what I mean? Like you have to have the right tool. So what is it, right? And that's the science, that's the technology, that's everything behind this. Because like I said, this isn't, you don't just jump in and go, oh, I have a Weatherby Sorix. Like which one will fit my gun? Like that's not the way to go about this. This is totally different. And like you said, they can call you. They can look on the website to get all the information they could get. You guys have them in 12s, 20s. Did you start doing, I think you started doing 410 as well.
410 for turkey and 28 gauge we have as well.
So there's a lot of options. And all you got to do is plug in what gun you have. It takes you right to your options. That's the Like I said, the tube finder in the stores was huge, right? So you could look at it and see whatever. And but now it's like you go to the website and all you have to do is plug your gun in. What you're looking for, it gives you all the options. I mean, it is not that hard, but the questions or anything that would come in would be, how far are you shooting? What ammo? If you want to seriously dial in everything, are you shooting ducks? Are you shooting geese?
Yeah.
What are you chasing? So then, like you guys are there to get them the right tool for the job,
Yeah. So we, I mean, we and we do a good amount of, I mean, you could come up with a million different combinations, but when Federal or any of the major manufacturers brings out a new ammo, right? I'll take, a gun tube combination, and I'll take all of our tubes that are gonna, so I'll do your Code Black Duck, Goose, et cetera, Anacondas. I'll usually do five or six of our tubes to kind of represent the different lines. And then I'll take the major competitors' tubes. And I go put, three rounds through each tube. And kind of take the average of, okay, what does that look like? So when someone calls in and says, hey, have you shot this new Federal blah blah blah? Yeah, I have.
And here's the research. Here's what I got. Right, you guys are. Listen, Julie was a fanatic about that, so I'm glad that is still going because I remember, I'm not going to say names, but I remember calling her and going, "Hey, Julie, have you guys shot this through the tubes?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I go, "I'm just like people are asking me like how is it?" And she's like, and I'll never forget it. She goes, "Tell them it's for shit."
Yeah, that's a
And I
Julie.
go, she's like, "We're on the pattern board and we shot it and we go down there." She's like, "And the pellets are sticking in the wood." She's like, "I'm just rubbing it off." She's like, "Tell them don't shoot that." And she goes, "Because, and this had nothing to do with the tube." She's like, "It's the ammo. Don't shoot it." This was a long time ago. And I'll never forget that. I laughed my ass off, but that was truth. And that's what I'm saying. Like, she did enough research and shot enough, and everybody down there pattern and shot and tried this ammo and that choke and whatever. This isn't like you guys aren't just going, "Oh yeah, here's the new thing out. This is what it does." Like, you guys go through an extensive amount of, you can call it research, you can call it R&D, whatever you want to call it, like, to make sure that they're getting the right info.
Yeah, I call it a sore shoulder, but
I know. I know. I know. Especially in the summer. Or
yeah.
whatever.
Oh yeah, when you're like, hey, I got some down days, let's go shoot, and you're just putting box through box through box, you're like, oh, maybe I should do 20 gauge.
Yeah, maybe I should ease up a little bit instead of like going through three and a halfs in the summertime with a t-shirt on and I'm just ripping and I gotta go through however many. Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
So we try to, and I don't, if somebody calls in and says, hey, what's the best ammo given this gun and this, and we
Right.
don't, I may not necessarily have your gun. I may not, but, I probably have tested most of them, the Benelli's, Berettas, Brownings,
Right. All the big manufacturers, right.
yeah,
Everything that's
and
major.
all the major ammo. And so it's kind of like I can give you some guidance. I usually don't say this is the magic ticket. I'll say, hey, based out of this gun tube combination, here are three that,
Yeah.
work
That
real well.
anything would work, right? And then, when, we used to have this discussion as well, with guys that were like, when all the other, more developed, more technology in the ammunition came out with different wads and different things and all that other stuff. Then there was a pivot there, because then we were like, hey, then you had to go, okay, this tube will work with this, and then it really got more technical because that was a totally different evolution, and that's still going now. So, but now most of the ammunition companies have said like this will fly through whatever tube, right? Whatever choke tube or tube. So that I think that's gotten better as well. So that helped. All right, let's pivot. We're talking to Jason from Pattern Master. If you don't know, you're in the FA podcast, so we're gonna keep going. So the next one I want to talk about is, and I use this in my 20 gauges, and I really feel like the Anaconda is, I don't know, that's dynamite for me in the 20. Like I feel like I go from my decoy tube in my 12, and then I just step over into that Anaconda in the 20, and I just go, I don't skip a beat. So, but I've also tried like everything. Like I got every tube that you guys have probably. I have enough here to freaking, supply at a store, right? So, but I found my groove, and that's it for me. So, but for people listening, and you could explain the Anaconda, because Anaconda is different technology.
Correct. It's so Larry, who you talk about Julie, but it's Julie and Larry are husband and wife. Larry was the master gunsmith for the Army's shooting team and then Homeland Security. So he is the one who patented both the stuttering technology and then the Anaconda technology. The Anaconda achieves the same, basically wad stripping that the stuttering does within the Classic or the Code Black. It just does it in a different way. And so what happens is there is a slight constriction to an Anaconda tube, much less than traditional constriction, but that constriction is meant to guide the gas behind the shot into the spiraled chamber at the end. And that gas pressure actually pulls the shot or the wad away from the shot. So you're achieving the same outcome, just a different way. Because you're doing that spiral chamber, I can't port it.
Yeah,
And
because of how it's designed, right? I'm looking at it right now.
yeah, I mean, you would lose the gas pressure. So yeah, you can, there you go. You can see it pretty well, but it's it's a inside there's a spiral chamber that basically will capture the gas and use it to create pressure against that wad. Performance-wise, I think I mean, you're right on it. It's pretty darn close. It's a lower price point in the market.
That's the other thing, right?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we achieve that not because it's made with the same exact steel, but because we don't have to port it, and because we don't finish the interior with the titanium coating, our costs are a little bit less, so we can get that cost down to a $75 price point versus a $95 or a $100 price point.
Yeah,
But
it's not a cheaper product at all. It is just less steps, and really it's just less steps and less material or less labor. Like that's the real reason. It's not like, oh yeah, let's make something cheaper. And because there has been, since, because the patent was up when on the stutterings, was up a little bit ago, wasn't it? Because a couple companies came out and tried to do that with inferior stuff, and it's like, yeah, and the price was lower, and I'm just like, you're just not getting, like, you could say all the stuff you want, but you're just not getting what Pattern Master does. I don't care, right? And even at that 75, like you said, on that Anaconda, you're still getting an incredible product for that. Like, I don't, I would explain to guys about, they'd go, well, I bought this $500 case of ammo and I'm just shooting like shit, right? And it's like, da da da. I'm like, well, I said you should spend $100 on a Pattern Master and then get used to it. And then you could shoot, $200 case of ammo or a $600 case of ammo. It's not going to matter if you're dialed in. Like, that is going to be the huge, you spend $2,000 on a shotgun, and like we said, we used to talk about that all the time, like how much money we piss away, like waterfowl guys, right? Like, how much do we really spend, and what do we do? And then you go, yeah, I just, I bought that, $39 tube at the store, and yeah, and it sticks out a little bit from my barrel. And I'm like, and I used to tell guys, I'm a no bullshit kind of guy. I would say, listen, you bought an extended choke tube that is literally the same choke tube that came in your gun, the one of the three or five or whatever came with the gun, and it just sticks out of the barrel half an inch. I go, you just wasted your money. And I go, because when somebody comes in and they're saying they need help or they need this or they're trying to get the right product, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, and I've never been. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be totally outside the hunting industry, right? If you sold me something that was bullshit, right? I'm not coming back, or I'm mad, and I'm mad looking at it that someone sold you bullshit, right? I'm not a fan of that. Like, we don't do it at Final Approach. I don't make some inferior, we don't make some inferior bullshit product that I know is going to break in 2 hunts or what. Like, we don't do that, and you guys don't do that either. So when somebody tries to pawn something like that off, like, I get offended on that. I know that sounds weird, but that irritates me, I guess. So I never
No,
want to put somebody in that position.
I mean, I do similar to you. Like the things I buy are always more expensive, but they're bought with the thought that it's going to last me, right? I mean, you buy expensive waders or, a jacket because you know what? It's well made. I'm going to get many seasons out of it. And when I took it over, we did make a few changes, and one of them is if our tube breaks, I don't care if you call me tomorrow and say, hey, I bought this in 95. It just cracked.
Right.
All right, send it back to me.
Yeah.
I'll send you another one.
Yeah.
So you're buying $100 where it's a lifetime investment.
Yeah,
Um,
there's no doubt. Like
if it breaks,
the only thing I'm worried about on some of my tubes is, and I think Julianne, Larry, I think I might have passed this on to Jerry, and I don't think anybody had any like really good like answers, because I don't know how to track it, right? Like, when am I going to shoot the stud rings out? When am I literally going to wear them down? You know what I mean? And I think Jerry and Larry, when they sat around and they were bullshitting and I threw that, they were trying to get an idea on, rounds or years, and I don't think we ever came up with an answer. I think somebody threw out like 15 years, and somebody threw out like 10,000 rounds. Like, I don't even know how you would track that. I guess the only way I would be able to track that is if I've been shooting it for a while, and I mean years, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm not having like a bad day, I'm having bad days in a row. Then I might go, maybe I shot them out. I don't know. Now I do go in there and I look at them and I clean it and I make sure that like there's no plastic buildup, which I haven't seen, but I always check. So I still see them in there. So I don't know the answer to that. So that's one that I don't think is anybody can answer it. And maybe they never wear out.
And it's I mean, there's enough examples of tubes that I've seen that are 10, 15, 20 years old where it's like, still looks good. I mean, it's kind of beat up exterior wise from
For sure. Oh, for
living
sure.
life, but when you look at the guts of the thing, it's in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably, the only thing that could probably done is you actually mic the stud rings, right? And see if they're down at all. But I mean, like I said, you would have to be shooting that pretty long and a lot of rounds for that to even be a remote, idea. So I just threw that out there because I've thrown that out to them and they were like, well, shit, I don't know. Because that's how well it's made. You know what I mean? That's how well it's made.
Yeah, and that's one of, you've been to the shop, but what And we've looked at, when times get peak of, could we bring on another shop to help, keep up with demand? And we do something that I would say 90% of shops won't do is every tube. I mean, it's made on a CNC machine, but we check every tube coming off, hand check, right? Most places want to set the program and set the machine and run them overnight, right? And they may do some quality checks on the tail end.
We might check one in 100.
But I mean, we have a person on that machine that every tube that comes off, they take it, they make sure, it's up to spec, and then it goes on to the next stage of the process, which that's the hard part of, it's that extra step of quality of, you don't find it. Someone could be the same in terms of American made or even American steel, which we can get into a steel discussion of American steel versus imported
Absolutely.
steel and the
Absolutely, you can do
consistency.
that. Yeah, because go ahead, keep going.
But it's that extra step. So can you find me somebody who's doing what I'm doing, who's using US folks to make US steel into a lifetime product and checking everyone as they go out the door? Now, are we 100% perfect? No, because you are, I mean, you can get a bad batch of steel. So do some tubes break? Yes. Are you going to get another one to replace it? Yes.
Well, I mean, you cut the law of averages way down when you start doing that, right? Everything is getting checked. The steel's getting checked. Like you said, could you get a bad batch? Like, yeah, shit, you're not going to know everything. It's manufacturing. Something could happen somewhere with a supplier or whatever that you don't know, but are you checking everything you possibly can? Yes. You know what I mean? Have I seen, I don't. Like Julie and Larry used to go when I was there. I think it was like there'd be like a junk bin, and they're like, "Yeah, those are no good." And then she would say, "Hey, test this out. I'm gonna send you a second." And I go, "Oh, like, what's wrong with it?" And she's like, "Oh, it didn't print right." Like, those were the seconds. Not it wasn't off or what I mean, like measurements or whatever. Like those like went right in the trash. Right? There was no sec. The seconds were like, hey, it didn't print the name right, or this one has a scratch on it. Like those were the ones she'd go, hey, test this out or use this or whatever. So that was totally different. So it's not like the seconds are going anywhere, they're going in the trash. So everything's getting checked and really, really like evaluated, scrutinized, like down to the, like you said, down to everything.
And we even with, on the retail side, you take a Rogers or even if you bought it on Amazon or from us, we don't with all of our retail partners. So we go to Rogers and we basically say, hey, if anything gets returned, even if it was just a, hey, I bought the wrong one, you need to send it back to us. I give them full credit, so it doesn't cost them
Because you want to
anything.
see it.
I want to see it. And what I don't want is, I don't want a secondary market for tubes,
For sure.
right? For me to stand behind them for a lifetime, I want to know that, hey, you got it from a supplier who was selling new stock. And that's why I say you got to buy it from an authorized dealer, right?
Yes.
We have authorized dealers all over the country. We have authorized online dealers, right? But I know that those dealers are not going to sell secondary product.
That's right. And that's integrity to the brand. Like you said, you go back to that. You're making sure you're making it right. You're making sure the customer's taken care of. Like everything about what you guys are doing, you don't even have to thump your chest on the USA made and USA steel. Like you don't even like obviously that's a huge part, but you don't even have to. You just have to say that we're backing everything what we do. Doesn't matter what it is. You know what I mean? Because I've never seen I don't think I've ever seen a tube crack or break, to be honest, in all the times doing stuff. Like you said, I'm sure it happens or whatever, but I honestly, I don't think I've ever seen one or even remember talking to somebody who had one fail. Like I have seen guys, and this was operator error, I have seen guys try to, blame something on the tube and then, their barrel went in the mud and then they blew the barrel out and then they're saying it was, pattern master's fault or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a thing. And I'm sure that's happened. You know what I mean? Like you're
Yeah,
talking about
they,
a
and
firearm
there's
and yeah.
we look at the returns, we track everything by batch. So if we're seeing any sort of common pattern, I can reach out there and
Yeah.
I know where they went, and
Right.
I can get them back in.
Right.
There are some guns that, our total return rate is less than 1%. So
I guarantee it is, for sure.
it doesn't happen a lot. It
Yeah.
does happen. There's guns where it happens at a higher propensity just
Yeah.
because of the barrel design.
Yeah.
Some that I never see returns on because, the barrel design is
Is running off.
great and
Yeah, I like I said, I think the only returns would be that I think the highest percentage would be just guys getting the wrong tube, like for their gun, they misread something or they ordered something and it just didn't fit the gun. You know what I mean? Because that's, I think, because that's why I said that's where the tube finder comes in. That's where going to the website. That's where asking questions to make sure, because that's really the thing. You're just getting dialed in, because once you get it and you get dialed in on your ammo and everything else, like I think you're just off and running. So, and you just have to be a little patient and get used to it. If you're used to shooting, and that's my main thing. If you're used to shooting a traditional long shot string, just constriction choke tube, this is a tool that you get used to and it'll benefit you. So I don't know how else to put it. That's it. Because it will maximize your hunting experience for sure, and your shooting. So you just got to get used to it and dive in, because it is a I do not like when I go somewhere, like I don't, if I don't travel with a gun, like wherever I'm going, like I go, if I go to Europe, if I'm going to freaking New Zealand, like wherever I'm going, I just say, what guns do you have there? Because I'm gonna bring, that's the only thing I travel with, because it's obviously harder to travel with guns sometimes. So if I just put my choke tubes, can't take it in my check, I got to take it in my check bag, can't put it in my carry-on because they freaking lose their minds, which is unbelievable. But that's the only thing I travel with, and I make sure my calls and those. That's it. I know I'm okay then.
Yep.
I feel comfortable in my skin going somewhere, not knowing what we're going to shoot, bird wise or how close or whatever. I take my decoy, my long range, and my Anaconda, and I don't have to worry. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So. And then I'm 12 and 20, so I don't know what the hell we're gonna be. You know what I mean? Like I got it all covered. But like I said, calls and that, and my passport if I need it. Like other than that, I can buy whatever else there that I need. I think I'm set. So it's been a huge thing for me for sure, as a tool. Like I can definitely say that. Like it has been, it is, your top five things, your gun, your ammo, your Pattermaster, the dog, the decoys. You know what I mean? It's there. It's there. Is there anything new coming, or anything new out that I'm missing? For the Snow Goose guys, there's the snow plow, which is really like an extended, isn't it? Is that
It's
one
an
extended?
I mean, think of it as the Code Black Goose, just with a powder-coated white exterior.
Right. So, I don't think I missed anything. There's, like I said, you can go in there and shop Classic or Anaconda or Code Black or whatever. You know what I mean? And like I said, some guys like ported. I've always been a fan of the non-ported, just because, I'm always shooting with people. I'm always worried about, just noise for them or whatever else. And I don't know. I just am used to what I'm used to. So
Yeah.
I just stick with it. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
We so in the back half of this year, because we've been part of the whole transition and acquiring the
Oh,
company, and
good.
business has been going great,
Yeah.
but we've been running the shop ragged, and just to keep up with kind of current demand. So we're moving
For
now
sure.
from kind of wrapping up waterfowl production for this year. And that'll get us through, the seasons that are out there. So basically through February, when you have your conservation seasons. We're starting turkey production now. And so we'll get everything ready to go to market, call it February, March for turkey season. And then we kind of use that April through June time to really have some free time to run new things. Now we'll have a couple of new introductions in the fall, partly driven by the gun manufacturers. So
I was just going to say, that's always like the thing that people don't understand is you guys have to keep up with if somebody makes new threads, for Christ's sake. Like that's like, that's when you guys go, you got different threads. And I used to say that all the time. I'm like, okay, if it's this company, why can't you guys just stick with the same threads? Like the same thread pattern. Like just why you gotta have us all over the road? Just stick to the same shit.
Now, like,
God damn.
so I know we're gonna I've got them sitting here, but I finally got them. But the new Benelli AIs, and so I've got the 12 and 20 of that wool. Those are really overboard,
Correct.
and so I've had a bunch of people think, oh, that'll take a cryo.
Right.
And you can take the 12 gauge AI and you can almost fully drop that cryo tube through the
All the
barrel.
way down. Holy crap.
Like
So
it's
now
not
that's a new
even,
thing you got to come up with.
it's more, it, I would say it's bored more towards a 10 gauge than a 12 gauge. And the 20 gauge is very similar. I would say it's bored more towards a 16 gauge than your traditional 20. So we have to make tubes for those. And that just, I mean, I need the tubes, I need the barrels,
You got to get your ammo
right?
and you
And
got to get
so we'll
started.
start
Here we
production
go.
of those in the spring. I haven't, I'm supposed to go see one this week, but and pick it up. But the new Beretta, I don't know. From their website, it's fairly vague if that's new threading or not. We'll see. You know, even if they say it's the same threading, I always like to take the barrel and
For
make
sure, just
sure
don't go.
whatever they're saying it is, it seats the right way.
Yep,
We've
for
got to
sure.
do the 20 gauge Browning and Becter DS.
Oh, yeah.
Those have been on market, but they haven't been, no one's really had them in stock. So now we're getting the demand
Gotcha.
now that people can actually buy the guns.
Yeah,
So we'll have
that makes
those. We'll
sense.
have some new thread introductions there. And then
Yeah.
we're going to change some things within the lineup in the back half. So we'll start that
Cool.
process where we take some of the additional learnings we're getting out of Anaconda and make some adaptations to that. So I think we'll at least have new threading in the back half, but we'll have a nice pipeline to come.
Awesome. I'm excited. I'm excited. Is there anything else you want to cover? Like
No, I think
patternmaster.com,
that's it.
head over there. Like every info, video, like lots of stuff going on. Like if you got
Yeah,
questions,
we've
like people.
redone the website. So if you go there today, you won't see Tube Finder because I pulled it down today to make some refreshes on it, but it should be up in a day or two. But you'll hear what Mario was talking about, where you can put in gun make model,
So cool.
and it's going to tell you, hey, here's what we offer, even if we don't offer anything. I think you will find it the most extensive list of shotguns on the market.
Yeah, it is. And it
And
didn't used to be. It didn't used to be like they had to really like chip away and like I remember it like it was expanding. It was constantly expanding. So that's what I'm saying. So when you look at it now, if there's a gun missing, I don't know what it is. And if it's missing, like you can just call in or email in, and I guarantee like the threads are similar or there's just not many of them sold. I don't, you know what I mean? Like I don't know.
And that's, I mean, sometimes the answer is going to be like, hey, we don't make, you know, something. And that's not because we can't, it's because the number of guns I'm going to cross paths with, because each time I decide I'm going to make a new tube, I've got to invest roughly $2,000 in tooling. So I have to believe that I'm going to be able to
Yeah, get the money
sell
out.
enough tubes to at least repay for the tools I have to buy.
For sure. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, and like I said, if there's any questions about anything, like I said, email you guys, the little, chat thing jumps up as soon as you get on there if you need some help. Like, pretty simple. And if, and you know, listen, some guys are, I got to get on the phone kind of guys, and that's fine too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You could walk them through. So, as helpful as you guys are, that is awesome because it is, there's a lot of technology and there's a lot of info going on. So awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I love shooting it. It's a huge tool for me, and I don't know how many people I've converted into it. Some people I don't convert because I don't think they shoot very well, and I don't think that's going to help them. Not at the moment. I go, that's a, I go, hey bub, that's a, it's a summertime going into next fall. Like, if I turn you on to that right now, like, it's not going to be good for you. And I hate to say that, but I don't say that out loud, but I say it in my mind, and I go, yeah, that's, bring that up after the season and go, hey, you might want to look at this and get used to it going into next fall, and then might, maybe you'll be good to go. So
Yep.
that sounds terrible, but that's just the truth. So, all right, good. All right, everybody, thanks for checking out the FA podcast. You could listen to it where all the other podcasts are put up. We put them up on YouTube as well. So you go hit up the YouTube channel and subscribe. Make sure you go check Pattern Masters, all their socials. Make sure you like them, follow them, so you get all up-to-date stuff. And when you shoot some birds, send them over, get some pictures. We, everybody loves that. So, if you're having any issues, you just email any one of us to help us out. And our partners, the other partners we were hooked up with, is Federal Ammunition and Weatherby and Rogers Sporting Goods and the guys at Leupold. So we appreciate all their help, and obviously the Pattern Master guys. Like I said, I've been shooting that for forever, so I'm in. So it don't matter to me. Like, that's what I shoot. So, Jason, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank
I
you for
appreciate the
joining us and
time
giving
and
us.
thanks for all you guys do.
Yeah, but thanks for all the info, and hopefully everybody goes and snags one and gets better at shooting.
Very good.